Good morning. Welcome to those who are joining us online, and to all of you who are with us here this morning in person, any visitors we might have, a special warm welcome. It's always a joy to see new faces as God brings them to us. You know, before I begin, it just struck me as I was sitting here, we are so blessed with the music ministry of this church. This praise team, led by Jeff and all that participate, yeah. Dee and Laura and how they bring to us their musical skills, leading us in hymns and song. Donna and her work with the choir. What a great music ministry we have here at Highview. Praise the Lord. Thank him for that. As we begin this morning, the text for my message is from the 55th chapter of the book of the prophet Isaiah. And if you want to follow along in the Pew Bibles, that's on page 615. That's the English Standard Version. I'm going to be reading from the New International Version. That's my personal Bible. There, I did look, and there's not a whole lot of difference, so you shouldn't have any trouble following along. Isaiah chapter 55, beginning at verse 1. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on that which is not bread? And your labor on what does not satisfy. Listen, listen to me. Eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree, and instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. Won't you pray with me? Good and glorious God, all honor and praise and glory be to you as we gather together this morning, Lord. May we heed your call. May we follow your directives. By your grace, may we claim your promises. Write them on our hearts. bring them to the forefront of our minds, that we might absorb them and integrate them into our daily lives. Let us hear your words. Consider your thoughts in ways that are so much higher than ours. Speak to us, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been said, and I'm sure that you've all heard this, that we humans can only go 3 days without water, or 3 weeks without food. One wonders how they determined that, how they came to that conclusion. Did they maybe set up an experiment and ask for volunteers? Sign up now. Come join us. We're going to see how long you can live without water and how long you could live without food before you die. And just for participating, we'll give you a $10 Walmart gift card. I don't think they had a whole lot jumping in line to participate in that experiment. Well, 3 days, 3 weeks, not particularly long periods of time in the big scheme of things, when compared to the time we spend living on this earth, or even the eye blink that it is when compared to eternity. The experiment, had it been conducted, would have been dealing with our physical needs for food and water in the relatively short term, 3 days, 3 weeks. But what about our spiritual needs, both in the short term and in that longer term called eternity, which incidentally I would submit to you is beyond our ability to comprehend. As our minds, as amazing they are, as they are, they always need a beginning and an end. Only God is timeless. God is infinite. That's another concept that I would submit. We're just not able to comprehend what infinity is. David mentioned in our prayer group this morning that with this new telescope that's like a million miles out orbiting the earth, it's reaching back in time to gather light from 13 billion years ago. But even that isn't eternity. Even that isn't infinity. It still goes beyond that. It's been determined now that our universe, as God has created it, is still expanding, and in fact, at a faster rate, it's accelerating. The majesty of our God, beyond our comprehension. As he says in verse 9 that I read this morning, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. But I've strayed a little bit from Isaiah 55, so let's come back and look at our spiritual needs in both the short term and the long term. In Isaiah 55, there are three major themes: God's calling us, God's directives for us, and God's promises to us. And then there's a couple of sidebars that are tucked in there as well that we'll look at a little bit later. Chapter 55 is the culmination of chapters 40 to 55. That's a whole time when God is speaking through the prophet Isaiah to his people who by that time were in exile. The northern kingdom was already in exile. That took place in from like 734 to 724, over a period of time when the Assyrians captured the area and took the people into exile, followed by the southern kingdom. That was the northern kingdom, the 10 lost tribes, if you will. The southern kingdom, that finished after three different episodes in 586 BC with the final destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. And these chapters are words of encouragement to those people that are in exile. And those words just abound in chapter 55. through all 16 of those chapters. But chapter 55 just strikes me as being a very direct and very personal. It really speaks to us, I think. So let's look at the beginning of these themes. Firstly, at God's calling. Frequently, his call is prefaced by the word come. And we find that four times in just the very first verse. I'm going to read that again. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Come, he says, you who are thirsty, you who are hungry. What are we thirsty for? What are we hungry for? Righteousness, aren't we? Aren't we hungry and thirsty to be right with God? Because deep down we know that we're not even close to God's holiness. But Jesus elaborates on this theme for us, this analogy, as he did for the Samaritan woman at the well, which Scott read earlier, which Stephen preached on just a few weeks ago. We look at the Sermon on the Mount as Jesus elaborates on this theme. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, he says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what? For righteousness, that they may be filled. So we see in there a blessing and a promise and a continuation of the idea of thirsting and being hungry. John 7:37, Jesus says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, streams of living water will flow from within him. And we know that those streams of living water, as they flow from us who have embraced Jesus, are through the Holy Spirit. John 6:35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never be hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Ah, the analogy continues. And finally, at the very end of the book of Revelation, in chapter 22, verse 17, it says, the Spirit and the bride is Jesus, say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. Encouraging words. And then verse 1 concludes here with kind of an interesting passage. The price, the cost of all of this. It says, you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Did you hear that? It's free. Just as it said in Revelation, it's free. How can that be? Living water? Living bread? Free? Well, we know that it really isn't free. It's free to us, but it was bought and paid for at great price, paid in full by the work of Jesus at the cross. Free to us. So, let us consider and answer his call to come, all who are thirsty, all who are hungry for his righteousness. Let's look now at some of God's directives here. Verse 3. Verse 3. Some of these can kind of be interpreted as a calling as well. So there's an overlap here. But verse 3 says, give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. Remember I started out and I said we're looking at our spiritual needs short term and long term? Well, this clearly speaks to the long term, doesn't it? That your soul may live. I think that's pretty interesting. Verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. That's a pretty clear directive, isn't it? Seek the Lord. Again, perhaps an invitation or a calling, but seek the Lord while he is near, while he may be found, and call upon him. Verse 7 says, let the wicked forsake his way, let him turn to the Lord. Again, a directive for us and for those. These are clear directives to come to him, to seek him. Seek him in humility and to seek him in confession and in repentance. Turn, he says, to us from our earthly ways, confessing, for as Scripture says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So the directive is, I think, very clear that we come in confession and in repentance, and that we turn, we do a 180 from those earthly things of the flesh to those heavenly things of the Spirit. So let us heed these directions. And there's a couple others in there that we could look at. Live our lives accordingly. Now we know that in attempting to accomplish this, we can only do it through the indwelling power of God's Holy Spirit. God not only tells us with these directives what he wants us to do, but he gives us the ability and the power to carry them out. That makes our obedience to these directives at least attainable, because we certainly couldn't attain them of our own doing. We need his power. Now on to his promises. Firstly, in verse 2, there's a rhetorical question. It says, why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Well, that could be worded a lot stronger. Oh, you foolish people, spending your time and your money and your efforts on those things that are not satisfying spiritually. But it goes on to say, I lost my place. the second part of verse 2. Listen to me. Eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. What are we to eat that's so good? Well, we come back to Jesus' words, don't we? His bread of life, giving us eternal salvation, the richest of fare. What could be richer than our salvation and our eternal presence with that of a holy God? Verse 3, the second part of verse 3. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. That is a clear reference to the Davidic covenant that God made with David, that there would be forever an heir of David on the throne of his chosen people Israel. And we know who that is. This speaks very clearly. My faithful love promised to David. That is clearly Jesus, the promise of the coming Messiah. And then in verse 7, and we touched on the first part of this, let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his longings. Let him turn to the Lord. Turn, repent, come to the Lord. Seek him while he may be found, while he is near. And what happens? Here's the promise. And he will have mercy on him and to our God. Let him turn to our God, for he will freely pardon. Turn, receive mercy, receive pardon. Forgiveness for our wayward behavior, having been freed from the yoke of sin and the guilt and the shame that go with it. What a comfort it is in that promise that we have a God of compassion willing to grant us mercy and to freely pardon. And finally, this last promise, when we have responded to the calls and followed his directions, in verse 12. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. And mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Isn't that good news? What a great promise that is. We will have joy and peace. That's both satisfying the short-term spiritual needs that we have and the long time. There'll be an eternal joy, an eternal peace in the presence of God, our Creator. And all of God's creation will celebrate in song. The clapping of trees will clap their hands. Can you picture that? His creation will celebrate with us for what the Lord has done as he welcomes us into his kingdom. But let's be careful here, lest we fall into the trap that this is a message of works salvation, that we need to do these things to realize his promises or his salvation. You see, all of this, the call, the directives, the promises, come after God has poured out his grace and called us to be his own. We are not capable of doing any of these things. Our hearts are hard. Our hearts are hard. We know that. And it's only after he takes that hard heart out of us and replaces it with a heart of flesh can we begin to respond to his call. Can we begin to be obedient as he has planted a desire within us to be obedient, to please him, to follow what he would have us to do. Not only does he tell us what he wants us to do, but he gives us the ability to accomplish it with his Holy Spirit, that we might begin to be in a position to claim his promises. Now, quickly, two of those sidebars that I mentioned. Verse 5, surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Well, Scripture is clear that the Israelites were God's chosen people, and they still are, I submit. But others from all nations will see the glory of God as manifested through his people Israel, and as the word came out from his people Israel, that they will hasten to them. They will hasten to the Lord God of Israel, the Holy One of Israel. And they will come under his umbrella of grace. That's good news for us who aren't of the Jewish lineage. He has called all of these nations to be his own. And then, these are familiar words, verses 10 to 11. But they're powerful words, and I think they really speak to us. verses 10 and 11. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. It's a great picture. That's a great analogy, isn't it? He goes on, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God's word goes out, and it will never, ever return empty. What an encouragement that should be to us, to preach and to teach and to spread God's word and the gospel of Jesus. We can get frustrated in our efforts when it seems like our words are falling on deaf ears, and perhaps they are. But God's word will never return empty. It will accomplish his purposes. It will realize his desires. So I think the mandate is clear that we preach and teach the gospel of Jesus to all nations and tongues and peoples. So as we consider chapter 55, I say to you, and I say to me, heed his call. Embrace his directives. Claim his beautiful promises as our place in his kingdom has been assured by the shed blood of Jesus. Amen. Pray with me, please. Lord God in heaven, we thank you always for the power of your word, how you speak to us from it, how you reveal yourself to us, your character, your attributes. Lord, your compassion. So we pray, Lord, that your spirit would descend on each and every one of us, that indeed we would heed your call, that we would begin the following of your directives, and that with joy and thanksgiving we would claim the promises that are so clear. We thank you and praise you always in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen.